invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to get into it. But I'm going to take a moment and pray, and then we're going to read scripture, and then I'm going to give us a couple thoughts, and then Pastor Tim's going to lead us. So will you join with me in prayer? So Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we get to worship. God, and even just the simple pleasures of being able to have sunshine and just great temperatures, and even just the reminder now that we're going to be learning from you. We're going to hear you speak to us through the Sermon on the Mount, and we get to sit here on a little mount here. So God, I pray that just even in these tangible ways that we're kind of engaging with this, I pray that in a new and in a fresh way that we would be able to hear from you, that we would be able to place ourselves under your word and not allow our will to rule in our lives, but maybe even for the first time for somebody here to be able to allow your will to be done in our lives. So God, would you bless just the reading of your word and the preaching of your word, and would you do what only you can do here this morning? In your name we pray. Amen. So let's start by reading. I'm going to read a section of the Sermon on the Mount that is known as the Beatitudes. And so I want us to read that, and Pastor Tim is going to get us started with it. And it's going to take us a couple of weeks to kind of work through this whole section I'm going to read. But I want us to be able to read and allow God's word to kind of just pour over our hearts and minds as we get started this morning. So Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1, says, "Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.'" And that is powerful. And there is a lot there. And so one of the things that I want to kind of put in our mind as Pastor Tim is going to be walking through it with us is to bring to mind kind of this thing that we've been talking about over the last couple of months of this unseen realm and this seen realm. And so when we read this portion of scripture, it goes against our experience in life. It goes against a lot of the things that we see in this realm. And what Jesus is inviting us to here is he is actually helping us understand how the world is currently running.
Yep, absolutely.
And so there's this disconnect between what we see, mm-hmm. what we experience, and the way that things actually are, the unseen.
Yep.
And so what Jesus is trying to do is he's not saying, "Hey, imagine if things would go this way." No, he's saying, "Hey, those who are actually poor in spirit, they're the ones that are going to receive."
Yep.
And so what does that mean? Because in our seen experience, that's not the way that it works.
No.
In the seen, it's, hey, if I fight for myself and I work hard, I'll get what I need and I'll be provided for.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm better than you, then I'll get more than you and I'll be okay. And so the seen realm is what we fall into all the time. It's because it's so connected into our experience. And so Jesus now stepping into and trying to help us understand how do we follow, how do we understand God? He's trying to invite us to pursue this upside down kingdom that doesn't make sense necessarily. He's inviting us to pursue God in a way that hasn't really been understood until he began to help us to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way in which people were pursuing God before is just through religion.
Mm-hmm.
through religion. It's that's the seen realm. See, if I can manipulate my behavior in such a way that I look religious, I'm good.
Yep. That's
enough. If I behave a certain way, then I'm good. God must approve of me.
Yep.
If I just don't do these things, then we're good. And that is what following God looked like for a lot of people.
Still does.
And it still does today.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's you here today, there is freedom. Because that is not the way. Jesus is speaking this sermon because he's burdened for the people, because that's how they thought that you interact with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weight. That's burden. Did you read some of the lyrics in one of the songs that we took time to sing?
Yep.
Is that it's only through God that I have the power to be able to even obey him. So if it's based off of my seen strength and what I bring to the table, then I am up a creek without a paddle. I don't have anything to bring to the table here. And you don't either. And I say that in love. I want you to be able to understand that we are, if we are limited to the seen world, we're hopeless. But the beautiful thing is that now what Jesus is doing with the Sermon on the Mount is he's engaging the unseen realm. And he's trying to teach us about our thoughts and our motives. And so he's speaking to this that we can't necessarily see. And that's kind of scary.
Very.
Because it exposes all the stuff that we can't hide in the seen realm. It exposes, oh man, I might look okay on the outside, but I'm jacked up on the inside. And so if that's been you, that you've just been doing all you can to constrain your external behavior, but inside you know your thoughts. You know the way that you talk to yourself. You know the way that you talk about others. You know the way that you look at others. You know all the things that go on that maybe other people can't see.
Yep.
Well, Jesus is trying to invite us into a way of living where we're free. He's trying to invite us into this unseen realm of engaging with the Lord in a new way. And so for you and for me, as we're walking through this, I want us to be able to understand that what Jesus is speaking on, it seems like, you know, if we're already doomed, it seems like we're going to be even more doomed. But Jesus doesn't do that to make us feel hopeless.
Mm-mm.
There's always an invitation.
Yep, absolutely.
And so even today, as Pastor Tim focuses on just verse 3, that if we would embrace, if we would learn how to live with this poor in spirit, that there's this invitation that he will provide. And so if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, if you've been trying to earn your righteousness, if you've been trying to do things with external stuff, man, would you hear the words of Christ? Would you receive that invitation into the true and way of life that brings God glory and is actually for your ultimate good? So Pastor Tim, can you come and explain some more for us?
I'll try. We're gonna try together. So verse 3, we're just going to take verse 3, and I just want to remind you what Pastor Chris has already read. And this morning, we're just talking about the upside-down kingdom. And so we're just going to take a couple of words this morning. We're going to break it down because, you know, let's just be honest. These are not some section of verses. If you've got all this figured out already, then you need to come and help Pastor Chris and I. You need to explain some things to us because the more we study, the more it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I'm just going to be candid with you this morning. For the majority of my walk with Christ, these have been some of the most challenging portions of Scripture for me. The words of Christ being delivered in a very forthright way have been super challenging for me because what it does and what it's done for me is it goes straight at the very heart of my religious works. And it makes it very challenging for me. And I've created a lot of questions for myself through the years. And so I just want to say as we begin, if this is stirring the pot for you, woohoo, join the club. And if it creates a lot of internal evaluation, then we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and this is good stuff. And I just want to say this as a warning. If you can receive the powerful words of the teaching of our Lord and Savior, our God, Yeshua, and just walk in and walk out and nothing flicker in your heart, I just want to wave a big sign in front of you that says caution. Yeah. Caution, road out. Destruction ahead. But with that, let me remind you of verse 3. We'll read 1 through 3. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountains. Went up on the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we've discussed in past lessons, we've discussed the importance of the law given by the perfect lawgiver, his Father, Jehovah. Now, we begin the life-giving message of Jesus, the very Son of God. And in the same way as God the Father was the perfect lawgiver when he gave it to Moses, Jesus, the Son of God, is speaking with power and authority here. Now, I want to just remind you that the law focuses primarily, not totally, but the law focuses primarily on right and wrong actions. As Pastor Chris was talking about earlier, those are the things that are seen, okay? Right and wrong actions, the things that are seen. The kingdom truth focuses primarily on right and wrong thoughts and desires. And this is where, from a religion standpoint, we can play a lot of games with the right and wrong measurement. A lot of you grew up in situations very similar to mine, to where that everything was measured on the outside. And you had all these external measurements of good and bad, right and wrong, and you had all these different things going on. And you can play along and you can kind of fudge a lot of times because that's the seen world primarily. But when we get into the unseen world and we start talking about the thoughts and intents of the hearts, our desires and why we do what we do, those are the unseen things. And this is the upside down kingdom of faith. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you this morning. If you're not a brother and sister and you're listening to this, I want to say to you up front that the things that we are going to proclaim that Jesus said are not going to be congruent with the God and the teaching of this age. The things that are about to come out of my mouth and the teachings of Jesus are not going to be congruent with the world around us and what we are being taught and what we are being fed. The words of Jesus are going to resonate in the antithesis manner of a lot of the things that we hear, and I'm sorry to say, even from a lot of church leaders today. Because we have watered down grace, and we have watered down the gospel, and we'll say, thus saith the Lord, but here's our interpretation, this is what it really means. Well, I'm just going to say to you that this quick start to Jesus' teaching here, he spoke the words, just say, flowed out of his mouth. But it's one of those things that even for me, I'm like, whoa, 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 that's enough. What are you really saying there? I can't, let's, before we read on, I'm still trying to get my hands around, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So let's think about this. This sermon delivered by Yeshua was and is a proclamation of the seen, but especially the unseen reality. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. I want to say, what Pastor Chris said earlier is true. This is reality from God and before God presently, whether we understand it or understand how to live in it or not. It's still the reality of what is taking place in the unseen realm. Let's just break down blessed. What does this word blessed mean? It means in the original language, supremely blessed, fortunate, well off, or happy. So some of you think I'm nuts when we're worshiping. And we sing songs about being happy and being joyful. And I think that our vivaciousness, our expression should mimic the words that we're singing. Got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. See, there's a conflict there. But then it's like, well, Pastor Tim, you're nuts. Oh, sorry, we go to a ball game, then I can just be an insane idiot, and it's legal, but we come to church and we're singing about the great God of the universe who loved us and gave himself on our behalf, and I can't sing, happy is the Lord, like we're, wahoo! And y'all are like, dude, you're a little bit over the edge there, you know what I'm saying? Getting a little bit, like, you know, like, you act like you believe what you're singing. All right. Let's address the first of many questions from an external or a seen perspective. Some of you are sitting there saying, how can happy and poor be in the same sentence? Can we just be honest? How can happy and poor be in the same sentence? Well, it makes no sense, please hear me, if your definition of happiness is defined by wealth and prosperity. Sorry, I know that I'm speaking to a primarily American crowd. And some of you have been listening to pastors for a long time. And they have convinced you that if you send your donation to them and they bless your hanky and send it back, you'll have a Benz in 5 weeks. I'm just going to challenge your thinking. I'm not speaking against stuff, but I am speaking against pilfering from the gospel. And Jesus didn't model that. He modeled a different kingdom. Are you tracking with me? So the reason that poor and happy might not be in some of our same senses is because we define happiness through our wealth and prosperity. How many of you have visited, worked, or ministered in a third world country? Raise your hand. You have people in a third world country. Well, those of us that have been there and seen, then we know firsthand that poor and happy fit synonymously, beautifully together, because sometimes I think that our brothers and sisters in third world countries understand happiness better than we do, because their definition is not based on wealth and prosperity. It's based on faith and relationship. Let's talk about spirit. The word spirit here, it has this idea in the original language of this locality of our inner being where we experience things. I would call it that God placed portion, which we might refer to as the immaterial part of man or woman, our inner unseen reality of existence. Poor. What is the idea here? Some people try to explain away some of these terms. So let's not shrink away from the powerful expression of these words and the meanings. Let's try to work through and understand what they mean. The word poor here, it's the idea of being thoroughly frightened. In the original language applied to Matthew chapter 5, it means the idea of being thoroughly frightened, to cower down or hide oneself for fear. Strong says it this way, that this word always had a bad sense until it was ennobled in the Gospels. So let's put this together and then attempt to embrace the teaching and let's apply it to our lives. Happy or very well off are the poor in spirit. I'm going to give you some multiple choice options on how we could say poor in spirit to help our understanding of this phrase. Now understand, this is not a perfect thing. I'm just trying to give some of you a different word comparison. And if some of these comparisons offend you, you can talk to me afterwards, or you can email me or text me. I'll give you Pastor Chris's number before we're done. And then we can have a dialogue. But I do want to have a dialogue with you, because I want you to just think about, instead of just looking at this as poor in spirit, let's break it down into some other word phrases to see if we can get a different perspective. And this is not a perfect science. So if you're like, Pastor Tim, I didn't like that one, well, that's okay. But if it got your attention, hallelujah. Poor in spirit, spiritually bankrupt, desperately needy of spirit, poverty-stricken soul, internal lowlife, spirit hopelessness. Spirit hopelessness, unworthiness of spirit, spiritually ruined, miserable of spirit, spiritually insignificant. I'll be honest, it makes me think of Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 22. This group of people, this church that's referred to, they evaluated themselves by the seen or external things. Please hang with me. Please listen to what I'm trying to share from my heart this morning from the Word of God and what Jesus is teaching us. This church in Revelation chapter 3, they evaluated themselves by the external things, the seen things, and their interpretation of where they were rich, they were wealthy, and not in need of anything or anyone. And yet God evaluated them by the unseen or the internal things, and His response to where they stood because of the unseen was much different. The response of reality was, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Do you see the contrast between the two? Stark contrast between the seen and the unseen. Contrast in perspectives. And then the rebuke to these church people. These are not unchurched people. These are church people. The rebuke to this church group was that they needed to do something about it with the faith pursuit of God. And what that meant, they were told to get passionately busy doing something different with a zeal that was going to purify. I also think about Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah said this. See, we see the new, and then we see the old record. It says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah is expressing impassioned. What it says here is that he was expressing impassioned grief and despair from his spirit. Jesus was teaching the reality of our state before God. This is what I hope that we can grasp this morning. But only those who are honest and truthful about their status of spirit as poor have the hope of heaven. Messiah was offering repentance and forgiveness to anyone who would believe. Now, I just want you to see that Yeshua reinforced his teaching with his lifestyle by his followers and his disciples. So let me just give you a couple examples to see how this all fits together. There's somebody that started believing in the following, and he was an extortionist tax collector. Or in our current culture, we might call him a rogue IRS agent, skimming off the top. Another situation, there was a promiscuous sex worker, what we might call a porn star or a prostitute. Another man that followed had turned his back on his nation and was considered a traitor to the Jewish nation. Publicans and sinners was the accusation of the religious hierarchy. Yeshua was a friend of sinners. He cannot be who he says he is, because he doesn't hang out with the best of the best. He hangs out with those that are poor in spirit. The seen world is how you present yourselves to others spiritually. You know why that's so powerful? Because so many times across our nation, people say, "Well, I can't come to church," and then fill in the blank, because you have to be good, or you have to present yourself to be good. And they know that I can't come because I'm not good. May we always be a church family that embraces other people just like us. Messed up, broken, poor in spirit. The unseen, this is where you actually are in your mind and spirit when you're alone before God. This is a scary place. I know a lot of religious people the struggle with prayer and secret time with God, because it's when you're alone with God that radiant light gets shined on your soul, and you're either going to press into him or you're going to run away screaming. Who can be poor in spirit? Anyone who will admit their internal desperation, poverty, and need. Admitting your spiritual bankruptcy. Anyone. Listen to me. When you study the scripture, religious people, churchgoers, and non-religious people, non-churchgoers can be poor in spirit. I've met people that are highly religious and they're poor in spirit. I've met people that are non-religious that are poor in spirit. Financially wealthy people can be poor in spirit, and financially depressed people can be poor in spirit. Heterosexual people can be poor in spirit, and non-heterosexual people can be poor in spirit. Any person from any background can be forgiven if you are honest about your brokenness, you repent, and you believe in Jesus. Period. Period. I feel exclamation mark. Boom! That means I believe what I'm saying. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the congregation of those who constitute the royal city of God or the divine kingdom. Happy and full of hope are all those who have made the kingdom of heaven theirs by admitting that they are poor of spirit and have turned to Jesus for forgiveness. An honest expression of the need of the Spirit. Please hear me. is the humility of salvation. If you're arrogant and you think you can earn something and you're going to get there on your own bootstraps, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't say that to be condemning or demeaning in any way. I say that because that's what Scripture teaches. It's by grace we've been saved through faith and not about our deeds and works because we brag about those things. It says, if any man, if any woman is going to glory, let him glory in our Lord. That's who we glory in. Have you ever admitted your spiritual poverty to yourself? If you have, are you living in the happiness, the joy of your spiritual citizenship? All throughout Christ's earthly ministry, he preached the kingdom of heaven. And you saw religious people that hated him, that were twisted up because he was talking about your desires and your thoughts and the unseen stuff. They had everybody fooled on the outside because they kept it all together. Matter of fact, they were judges and juries over everybody else. And yet, the most poor in spirit, those of us that we can relate to them because the ones that had messed up, the ones that made the wrong decisions, the ones that horrifically demon-possessed people, people that lived lifestyles that were just absolutely terrible, they came to Jesus and they experienced repentance and change and forgiveness, and they were forever different to walk because they understood that they could be part of the kingdom of heaven. All you had to do is admit you were poor in spirit. So this message has not changed since the time that Jesus spoke it on a mountainside, sitting down with his disciples. Please hear me. May we be a church family that never sneers, never looks down on anyone that comes to stand beside us. And if they're from one of these counties and you know their failures, I'm going to say to you in love as a spiritual leader, never, never look down your nose and think that God can't change and rescue a soul. Because the same grace that we've experienced, we need to extend to other people. Because what we have been called to be is a soul-winning station, a beacon of light that brings hope to a dark world. Oh, Pastor Tim, you don't know what I've done. Look at me, I'm so broken, I'm such a lowlife. Join the club, doesn't matter. Because regardless of what we've done with our actions, we're all in the same pot. We have fallen short of God's glory. So why don't we just admit the reality of what God says? We really are poor in spirit. Let's just own it. And therein lies freedom. Father, you do what you want to do with the words of your son this morning. God, I ask that you would draw people to yourself. I ask that we would humble ourselves before you. And, oh, Father God, we are asking you to call out, to save, to redeem and rescue anyone and everyone that will respond to your spirit. God, that you would raise up a mighty army of people that will be a part of your kingdom and proclaim hope to a lost world. Father, we need your help with that. This church is yours. We are the sheep of your pasture. So work in us and purify us today. In Jesus' name, Father, be glorified. In Jesus' name, Lord Jesus, we take your words. We want to live them out and apply them. Father, I ask that this week, that you would help me, that you would help all of us to not look down our nose at people that need help, that need the same grace and love that you've extended toward us. And give us wisdom to discern and understand when people are hard-headed and they kick against you, God. I ask that you would protect and guard this family, but help us to press into you. We're asking you to do miraculous things because we can't do those things. You have to do it through us. So we ask for great and mighty things. I'm asking you to blow our minds through your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Let's learn and let's live for His glory, not our own. Let's stand and let's sing praises to His name.